Welcome to the Aporia podcast. Remember, you can listen to this podcast on all the major platforms. If you like the show, you'll love the Aporia magazine. Find the link in the show notes, along with our Twitter and a link to the bonus questions we ask our guests.
Welcome to Aporia. I'm your host, as ever, Diana Fleischman. Today, our guest is Rob Kurzban. Rob is an evolutionary psychologist who now hosts a Substack called Living Fossils. He writes a lot for Aporia as well. His book, Why Everyone Else is a Hypocrite, is one of my favorite books of all time and one I recommend to everyone interested in moral psychology. Rob is a former academic, which is why he is happy to come on Aporia today. Welcome, Rob.
Hi, thanks for having me, Nia.
Okay, great. So people often think about evolutionary psychology as a cynical and dreary way to think about the world. And on Living Fossils, you write with a friend of yours called Josh, and he's a therapist. And you guys seem to have a more positive view of evolutionary psychology and our evolved psychology. Is there like a white pill, an evolutionary psychology white pill that you could point to?
Yeah, I think that it'll be a little ironic for you. In some ways, the white pill is the kind of thing that we kind of dismiss a lot, which is social learning. I think that, you know, the fact of the matter is that there's a little bit of a hope left in Pandora's box thing going on about the fact that, you know, humans can acquire norms. So now I have in mind people like Rob Boyd, Pete Richardson. You know, we learn from each other. And I don't know, the history of the world shows us that there's certain kind of worlds, cultures where people are, I don't know, I would say pretty nice to each other. I mean, obviously it's complicated, but yeah, the white pill is, yeah, I mean, human nature has a lot of stuff which is very unpleasant to it. But the weird thing about humans is that we live in these like norm spaces. So, you know, these norms catch on and then they spread. And, you know, for a long time, no one thought of the idea of democracy, and then someone thought about it and that kind of caught on a little bit. And then you had these people who couldn't push other people around as much. I don't know. That's kind of a white pill to me, which is that, you know, some of the equilibrium you get into can be kind of nice.
I remember being really like reading a couple of Yanomami ethnographies. And because I was reading Yanomami ethnographies, I was thinking, oh, this is like the state of human nature. And anthropologist Dan Fessler told me, no, Yanomamas are the biggest assholes of hunter-gatherers. Please do not think that this is like baseline human nature.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot of that, right? So like the way that it was put to me was that if you think about, you know, the hunter-gatherer groups who were left, basically they got pushed on off to all the places where non-hunter-gatherers didn't want to live anymore. And so, you know, if you want to ask what's going to make you cranky, being in the least productive environments around, right? So everyone sort of took up the rest of it. So yeah, I think that, you know, you got to be careful about using any of these groups as a model. You know, human nature is a contingent thing. It manifests differently in places, yeah.
You know, why everyone else is a hypocrite is actually fairly cynical about human nature. How do you manage that cynicism, or do you manage it at all?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, one of the findings that I take seriously, and we talk about it a little bit, is this relationship between your expectations and outcomes. And so one way that I manage this is, you know, I keep setting my expectations about people generally, you know, in the world, and then people particularly in my world, pretty low, given this vision of human nature. And then the idea is, you know, if you set your expectations low enough, people should be able to somehow overtop that. The thing that makes life hard is the way that I constantly feel like people are still, you know, doing the limbo underneath these incredibly low expectations about what we should expect from other people. So yeah, it's hard, right? So like, you know, both the theory and experience tells you that people are going to be pretty unpleasant and selfish and oftentimes, you know, spiteful and malevolent. So you can try to help that by setting your expectations low. I think Shawnee has the right of it too, which is, you know, there's something to this kind of Buddhist, you know, the source of suffering is desire. And so kind of tamp that down. You don't want to lose your ambition, but it's complicated. You know, there's no good answer to that. I would say, you know, be realistic, but optimistic. And I do think there are genuinely, you know, there are people who make genuinely altruistic choices out there all the time. So that should give you a little bit of a morale boost.
You have recently seeming to me anyway, you know, you've been seeing these protests and you seem to lost even more faith in humanity as of late, I think partly because of Israel-Palestine. So what you're saying to me now actually sounds a bit more doom and gloom than even where you were a few years ago during the 2020 reckoning, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's totally true. I think one of the, and this is obviously one of the pieces I put in Poria was about, you know, if you'd asked me before these events, is there any circumstance under which these kinds of barbaric acts would take place and you'd have large fractions of the world, let alone America, kind of joining that side, I said, look, even I'm not that cynical. You know, obviously, you know, if you have, you know, people crossing borders and attacking civilians and killing them, including elderly and you know, engaging in sexual violence, I would have said, look, everybody agrees, no matter what the history was, nothing justifies that. So for sure, yeah, that now I sort of feel like, yeah, it's a little disorienting. But yeah, as you know, my personal history, I also was shocked. I mean, unbelievably shocked at the things that, you know, people were willing to do to damage other people, you know, the kinds of, you know, being dishonest and, you know, bearing false witness, as it were, you know, the abandoning friendships. So yeah, humans are a nasty species, you know, they're nasty. And so the fact is you need really good norm systems to control them. And we don't really currently have that. So that's going to loose, you know, that's going to let loose the unpleasant aspects of human nature. And that's what we see.
Yeah. So, you know, most people would say evolutionary psychology can't really tell us what to do with emotions. You know, people have joked about like, what would an evolutionary psychology therapist say? You know, like, oh, you have your genetic endowment and you're short and ugly and sorry, you're screwed. Or, oh, you know, you, your reproductive success is really low. It doesn't seem like there's much you can do about that. But you have a really good series on living fossils about appraising emotions in light of evolutionary psychology and using that to make better choices. It echoes a lot of what I'm writing about right now, which is if you think about what an emotion was for, it can give you a better vantage point on it. So, you know, I don't know if you like Robert Wright, Why Buddhism is True. I think that's a good book. I don't agree with his politics, but I like that book very much. And it also has a similar kind of vantage point, which is if you think about what anger and jealousy is for, and then you think about whether or not it's serving you, it can help you a little bit, certainly with enough like prefrontal cortex going on.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I am a big fan of Robert Wright and his scholarship. And I think those are great examples. I mean, I just want to be very clear that that series is with Josh, who you know, has done most of the heavy lifting on that. But I think there's a lot of wisdom there, speaking of wisdom, but Shawnee's sort of chunk of fossils. But, you know, if you realize that you're angry at that person who just cut you off on the road or for whatever reason because you're designed to take revenge, and then you, as you say, with your frontal cortex, you sort of think to yourself, well, I don't need to deter that guy for the future because I'm never going to see them again. Then I do think that that kind of process, which is not unlike the kind of process that CBT goes through, right? So asking yourself these important questions, I think there is something valuable there, which is to say, oh, this is Darwin who wants me to punch that guy so that he doesn't do this to me again, which would be bad for me, but he's not going to do this to me again, so I don't have to punch him. Same thing with, as you indicate, these other sorts of things like jealousy. I think in the big moment, and the big one right now, are the things that we do to display, you know, signal to one another about how noble we are, altruistic we are, moralistic we are, all those sorts of things, is that, yeah, once you recognize, oh, yeah, I'm going to, you know, endorse this false belief because Darwin wants me to show that I have the same belief as the rest of the group. Now you can just weigh for yourself. Would you rather be, you know, wrong in a good group member or right in a bad one? At least that framing gives you, I think, the right kind of choice to make as opposed to just being led by the desire to fit in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Something I think that's happened since we stopped working in person with people is that we forget that there are other people. I think it's increased, you know, the remote working has actually increased a lot of animosity among coworkers because everybody is this disembodied person and you're not actually having any kind of human to human connection with them. I started listening to some podcasts of people that I really disagree with, even people that I've, you know, mutually blocked on Twitter that I've had really nasty run-ins with. And I just enjoy the discomfort of humanizing them and feeling like, oh, this is a person that I could sit down with. And if we weren't talking about whatever our pet political issue is, then we would really maybe enjoy each other's company. And
to listen to the full podcast, become a subscriber at aporiamagazine.com.